Hello, Mr. Hallmiller.
Yes, it is.
Hi, Ben. This is Derek from Dead Pixel Live.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you doing? That's the important part.
Not too bad, man. Nice rainy day here in Orlando, so I'm doing fine.
Tiburon. So you guys are still in Orlando. They haven't taken you out of the sun. He's like, you know what, you guys, I always thought they would move you guys out of there because you weren't getting enough work done. You're like, you know, you guys are going to Disneyland. You got
we need
Daytona.
To get somewhere a little more dismal, you know, colder weather where people don't want to go outside, right?
Yeah. But, okay, Ben, let's get down to business because, first of all, I would like to congratulate you because NCAA broke a bunch of records. Number one game in the world right now. How you guys feeling over there?
I mean, that's great. I mean, I wish we were going up against some of the biggest titles in the biz to be able to say that, but I'll take it where I can get it, you know?
Are you telling me that you don't consider the Glee 2 a big-time competition?
It's up and coming, but I think we got them for a little bit right now. We've got them, but, you know, you got to look out for your competition, though. They can come up and get you.
Ben, come on. Let's be honest. Now we're going to start hard stuff. You guys don't have any. Your competition is literally the Black College Football Experience. That is your
right.
Competition. I don't think
is that still Doug Williams sponsoring that one? Is he still the name behind that one?
Yeah, I think he is still the name behind that.
Nice.
Well, he was a great quarterback, but I'm not sure.
Outstanding, yeah. But and it was kind of fun because I played that one a couple times, and it's nice to see that our controller layout has kind of become the adopted controller layout for any other title because, like, you know, they don't want to have you relearn everything to play the game, so. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, I kind of felt at home when I first started playing because I kind of knew where all the buttons were laid out.
And going the other way, it'll be good on NCAA 13 when you guys add the Guitar Hero level from the BCFX.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. You know, you can have the band breaking it down. I like it.
Okay, tell us a little bit about, before we get, we have a bunch of questions for myself, but also even more questions from the audience. They have bombarded me with questions. But... before we get into all that, tell everybody a little bit about, first of all, yourself. I want to know about you, Ben.
Sure, yeah. So I've been at Tiburon for about 11 years now. Started out in QA as a tester working on Madden 2001 PC. It just started as a summer gig. I was going to school at Florida State, happened to stop by a game tournament and talked to a guy there for a little while, said, I live in Orlando. I know you have a studio in Orlando. And so it just turned out, it started as a summer gig and then kind of turned in from there to, you know, once I graduated, came back, kept working at Tiburon and then kind of moved up into the production ranks. And so I've been on NCAA football series since NCAA 06. That was the first year I joined that team. And I've been here ever since.
Well, you've been doing football, Tiburon, so you've been doing football for the entire time you're there.
Yeah. You know, in QA, I did some other titles. I worked on NASCAR for a little while. I did, one of the Command & Conquer Generals games back when they did Sims Online. I was on that for a little while. So in QA, I kind of got a chance to branch away and do some other things. But, you know, college football has always been my passion. It's been the sport that and the game that got me in the industry and got me here at Tiburon. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I couldn't imagine working on anything else.
Now, I've actually been people are going to think that I'm a shill now because they've been accusing me of that this all time. But I've actually been to the Tiburon Studios, and I know that you guys are a huge foot. Like, you go in there, and there's, like, football banners. Not even just football, but, like college banners and helmets everywhere. You guys live and breathe football. You didn't just get the rule book, download the rule book, and say, we know how to make a football game. Now, you guys actually live football down there.
No, yeah. I mean, I myself try to go to as many possible games as I can, go all across the country to kind of soak in that experience. That, you know, how's college football, how's that game day experience different at Boise State than it is, you know, at, you know, down here somewhere in Florida, like, you know, USF or something like that? Or, you know, what's a game day like, you know, at Wake Forest, you know, compared to how it is at Virginia Tech or things like that? So I try to go to as many games as I can to really soak it in because, you know, we're huge college football fans here. And everyone in this building is a huge sports fan from one degree or another, depending on the sport. So, you know, it's just a kind of a fun environment to be in because you can have these great sports conversations where you're just, you know, people are living and breathing through sports every day here. And, you know, we have the fortunate part of having, you know, TVs in our cubes. And so with, you know, March Madness around, you'll hear different pockets of cubes erupting during March as, you know, there's a late buzzer beater shot. You know, you can hear people erupting in their seats. Like, it's just such a fun sports environment to be around. And to add in the fact that we're making games while we're doing it, I mean, it's outstanding.
That's cool. Now, what as an associate producer, what actually do you do? I always think when I hear the term producer, I think movie producer, where the guy just comes in, yells at everybody, then goes gets in his Ferrari with his hot girlfriend and drives off. Is that what you do there as a producer, or associate producer?
Is that what I'm supposed to be doing? Because I am getting gypped if that's the case. If that was not in my job description, but I would love for that to be the case. No, actually, mine's more of a lot of different roles on the team. I do a lot of the promotional aspects. So I go out and kind of promote the game and do interviews like this where we get to talk about the game and what we've done every year. And so that's a lot of fun for me to be able to go out and kind of be the first person that has told people about what's new this year. And kind of the first hands-on demos, I'm helping to do those to see people's reaction when they see the game for the first time. Coming up with the feature set for the year and what we're going to do, one of the big things I was pushing for this last year was, custom conferences, because at this point last year, that's all people were talking about in college football was the 16-team super conferences. And, it's kind of, we didn't quite get there last year, but this year it's already coming back up again with the potential of having the 16-team SEC. And so we didn't have that ability in the game to tell that story and be able to do that. All you could do was just do a one-for-one swap, but you couldn't grow a conference or shrink a conference and that sort of thing. And so now, I need to check the data. I'd love to see how many dynasties in the past week were started with 16 teams in the SEC moving Texas A&M and Missouri and Florida State and Clemson over there to kind of see what it would be like through the game to kind of project what the real world could wind up being through our game. I mean, that's kind of one of the fun parts you can do is kind of live out these scenarios that aren't going to happen in the real world or might happen in the future and kind of have them in the game. So it's kind of one of the parts of that kind of coming up with what we're doing every year and just, doing that side of things of kind of, working with the talent and getting Aaron Andrews and, Kirk and Brad in the building to be able to record commentary and, all the different aspects that kind of go into the making of the game, not so much just one individual feature or that sort of thing. But I kind of like to touch on pretty much as much as I can.
You're the big picture guy.
I'm a big picture guy. There are a lot of great big picture guys here. I'm one of the ones that's kind of thinking about where we're going with the title and what's in the future and how we're going to get there,
Okay. I see. So where are we going? That's one of the questions that people are asking. What there's a big jump from NCAA 11 to 12. What are you guys going to do for 13?
Yeah, that's always the fun question to ask, and that's always the thing we're looking at this time of year is, where are we going to next? Where are we going to go to? We have kind of long-term 3-4 year plans, that sort of thing, of where we ultimately envision things going, but how much can you get to in 1 year? And that's always the big question. And it's always, what are the biggest ticket items we can get to that are going to make that big jump and make someone say, okay, I've got 12. 12's fun. 12's great. I've had it for a while now, but what makes me want to say, I got to have 13?
What tells them they have to have 13 is because you guys turn the servers off after a year. What's up with that, man?
I mean, there's the business aspect of that, of course, as well. That's kind of one of the things that I wish I had more control of, but, it's kind of dictated to us how those servers will be turned on and off. But really, it's kind of coming into the future is a lot of persistence. Why do you want to play from 1 year to the next and not take a year off? And giving you that kind of persistent element that makes you feel like if I miss out this year, I'm really missing out on kind of the whole picture of what the game can be, and I'm kind of missing out on all these things that I've played all this time and built all this time into the game. And instead of just throwing it away and starting fresh from in the next year, why can't we carry things over? Why can't you continue your dynasty on to the next year? Why can't achievements and things that you've done in the game from last year, kind of be shown in the next year's game and kind of help you along the way to show off your status to everybody? And then, what are we doing in the online space to kind of push that? Because that's obviously, the biggest area for growth in any game right now is online. Online dynasty has been a great avenue for us to kind of branch out how we're, allowing you to be able to access the game with, the dynasty.easports.com website where you can go in and last year you could just recruit. Now you can recruit and also, play your game with the CPU through a Super Sim application. You can advance the week as a commissioner and you don't have to actually be tied to your console anymore to be a part of your dynasty. And so kind of continuing down that path and how else can we grow that online experience so that no matter where you are or what device you have in front of you, you can be in touch with your dynasty and be continued to have an impact on it, no matter where you're at. So things like that are kind of the future of it. But of course, the big thing for us, we have the big three that we always talk about, the core gameplay, the sights, and the sounds. And so, everything we talk about kind of the future are kind of big ticket items like that. But we're never going to forget about those three key elements, because at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about when you're trying to play a college football game, is, you know, what it looks like, what it sounds like, and what it feels like. And so those are going to see some great upgrades this next year. We're very excited. We've had kind of our first creative deck created for what the vision of 13 is. And, you know, it's way bigger than what we'll be able to get to, but it's kind of fun to see the broad strokes, the big ideas, and then we'll kind of start working those down into what's going to be able to be done for this year.
Now, how does that work when, like, are you guys working on 13 now, or are you still, because I know that there's a patch coming out for 12. Like, how much more work are you going to guys be putting into 12 before you go full bore and we're just working on 13?
Yeah, we've still got guys that are working on live support still, you know, helping trying to make sure that, you know, some of the things that, you know, we're not happy got out for 12 are being corrected and taken care of in those title updates. And so we'll get that. We'll have better information on what date that's coming out soon. That's not quite solidified yet.
You knew that's what I was going to ask next. The next thing was going to be a date.
I can almost read what's coming up next sometimes. But you know, it's one of those things where you know, we have to work with Sony and Microsoft in trying to get these updates out, and we're kind of at times at the mercy of when they can get them out. And so we've worked with them to try and push updates as best as we possibly can. But I don't have a date yet. But I do have some good news though. That when we do have a date, I'll also be able to announce some additional fixes that got into the title update since the time I wrote the blog about what was going to be in originally in that title update. So a couple of new kind of surprises, some additional fixes we're happy to get in to help make the game even better once that title update comes out. And so don't have a date yet, unfortunately, but should have something, you know, soon to be able to say.
I'm going
to
say August 28th.
I mean, I would love that. I can't say anything though.
Is this once this patch is done, are you guys done, or is it possible that there can be another one coming out after this?
You know, we're going to evaluate things as we go. We have some other things that, you know, didn't make it into this title update that we might do for a third one. If there are any pressing issues that come out, you know, we'll definitely look into it. So I won't say 100% we'll do one, but also can't say 100% we won't. You know, but kind of getting back to finishing off the last question, I guess I didn't quite go all the way there. We've got guys that are working on those title updates still and still working on live support, server fixes, and that sort of thing. But a lot of guys have moved off onto working on 13, especially, you know, the design crew are really working right now on, you know, what the, you know, designing out what the features are going to be. And our artists are working on stadium updates and uniform updates and things like that that we know we need to get in the game. And so, you know, there's a lot of guys that are working primarily on 13, but there are still a few of us that are doing our best to try and make sure that, you know, we can give that support for 12. You know, we don't want to just launch a game and then turn our backs and never talk to anybody again until the next year. We want to be out there making sure that we're trying to make the game as best we can. And if there are issues that are out there right now, you know, trying to identify what they are, work with the community to try and track them down so that we can get them updated.
So you guys do listen, like, when a community, you aren't just like have three guys in a room playing a game and then checking off stuff saying this is broke. You actually go to like the forums and get community feedback and say, oh, this is a big issue, we need to work on this.
Yeah, you know, that's you know, one of my favorite things with this game are the interaction, you know, is the interaction we have with members in the community and reading those forums and seeing what people are saying, both positive and negative, and just how passionate our fans are. I mean, I say it time and time again, I love the fact that we have such passionate fans, because there's nothing worse than, you know, an apathetic fan base that doesn't care what you do. And if you put out a game and it's kind of like, oh, that's great, thanks for doing this, you know, not going to give you any real feedback. Our guys tell us what they love, and, you know, they tell us what they hate. And that's awesome to have, because, you know, we're trying to get better all the time. We're always trying to outdo where we were before and trying to, you know, make the best possible game. And so it's great to get that feedback to hear what we hit and what we missed on so we can use that going forward.
You're right, there's nothing. I actually put out a game a while ago, and I was like, I found it was an indie game, so you don't worry about it. But it was I found a bug, and I was like, "Oh man, everybody's gonna be yelling at me about this bug." Nobody ever said a word. And I was like, "Oh, that's not good. That's very." So you gotta, like, I can see where you're like, you feel good that you have a passionate fan base, but then, like, some people are just mean. Like, how do you, the more passionate the fan, the more passionate the fan. Like, how do you balance that?
I mean, it's one of those things where you cut through, you know, the verbiage of what they're saying and try and get to the meat of what the issue is, because they are coming with legitimate complaints a lot of times. they don't quite know sometimes how best to verbalize those. And so you don't take it personally, but you still try to take it as, as what it is. It's feedback. And so you try to take what you can from it. You extract the meaningful parts from it and forget about the rest. I mean, that's the only way you can go on. If you got caught up in every time I was told I sucked at my job, I shouldn't be breathing anymore, all these other things, if you get caught up in all of that and the negativity of it, you're never going to get anything done because you're so focused on trying to make somebody who'll never be happy, happy. But what you need to do is just take out what you can learn from what they're saying and apply that to make the game better. So that's really the key there, is don't get caught up so much in the actual words that are being said, but more of the message that's trying to come across,
I can see it's like double-edged sword, some guy saying, I hate your game. I was playing it for 8 hours last night, and I just can't stand it anymore. It's like, well, you're playing a game for 8 hours, so kind of like must like it a little bit.
It's kind of funny. There's a lot of threads you see pop up of people saying, wow, I didn't realize how much I was supposed to hate this game until I came on this board and started reading these threads. Or, I felt bad that I was having a good time playing the game until I came on here and read about everything that's wrong with it that I didn't notice, So that's the thing. There are a lot of people that are having a great time with the game, and then there are some people that are going to let a small thing potentially ruin it for them. To each his own. That's their prerogative. And, we're just trying to make, honestly, the best game we can make for everybody. And if somebody has very specific rules that they set up and very specific things and it doesn't quite work out for them and them only, I feel for them as a game maker that they're not getting the best experience out of it. But at the end of the day, that's, there's 1,000 of other people that are still having a great time compared to the one. So it's kind of, you got to balance it out sometimes. And that's a tough thing to do and a tough thing to say sometimes. But, it's something where the majority have to drive things at times. The hardcore do a great job of kind of helping shape that feature set and telling us where they want the game to go. And then it's kind of coming from there of like, okay, how do we make this so that everyone can enjoy it as well?
Okay, Ben, speaking of the rabbit public, let's go down. I think I have more questions today than I have for any other. You guys are popular. That's all I'm saying. Okay, let's run through these.
Sure.
Ballin 244 wants to know, how come you guys dropped the FCS teams?
So that was something that on the move over to this generation of consoles, so we'll move to PS3 and Xbox 360, it was a decision that was made at the time to not support them. And we have them available to create through Team Builder, and that's the way we have them right now, where you can go ahead and create them right there at teambuilder.easports.com and download them into the game. But, I was actually still on the PS2 time, version at that time. I wasn't really a part of those decisions, so I don't have a great answer for why that decision was made, but all I can say is that, we have that Team Builder spot in there to be able to have you create those teams and download them into the game, so you can still use them, but they just don't come shipped on the disc.
Yeah, I remember when I was playing back in the PS2 version, when I was playing Norfolk State University. And I was like, they have Norfolk State University in this game? My piece of crap school? No, it's gone. Okay, Symbiote wants to know why you took celebrations away. They used to have celebrations, and you used to be able to, if you over-celebrate, you got a penalty, but no more celebrations.
So that's actually a really interesting situation. So, yeah, we had the ability to go celebrate with a mascot. It was something that, talking to the NCAA and working with them, we always kind of take our cues from the NCAA of what they like in the game, what they don't like. Some things they won't let us put into the game, other things they kind of let us put in, and then they kind of get the feedback on it and decide, we might want to pare that back. And so celebrations was one thing that kind of came under that, where we were asked to remove them from the game, not something that the NCAA wanted to really promote. And it's funny, I just got back in the office today. I was up in Connecticut the past couple of days at the ESPN College Football Seminar, where they had kind of kickoff meeting for all the talent and producers and everything, and they're kind of setting what the college football broadcasts are going to be like for this year. And they had one of the head referees announcing all of the new penalties for this year. And they started talking about the new taunting penalty. And part of that penalty is if you do engage a mascot, it will be considered taunting, and it'll be a spot foul, 15-yard spot foul. And so the whole place erupted in groans. They couldn't believe that, you can no longer engage your mascot. But it's kind of one of those things where it was a little bit of a foreshadowing for us when the NCAA asked us to remove those, that you know, in a year or two, they would have been penalties anyway. So it's kind of doing us a favor of having us take them out.
Almost, it takes me back to the days when Madden still had the ambulance in it.
And sometimes that ambulance would leave, and that guy was still laying on the ground. That was always the funniest thing.
Okay, speaking of penalties, who is this? This is M. Wolf wants to know, can penalties be fixed to a point where a variety is called? And also, can personal fouls be added for late hits out of bounds?
Yeah, so, you know, there's some things with penalties that can be very tricky, and pass interference is probably the biggest one, because you can get into situations where it's very volatile and very tricky, that you do some tuning to it to try and increase pass interference situations, and now you get them way too often. And so it's a delicate balance that the guys have been working on. And at this point, unfortunately, we don't feel comfortable with adding it something that we would put into a title update, because we don't want to have any unforeseen issues that we can't properly have time to really test and debug and make sure that it is right. But so that's something we've talked about going forward, of addressing a lot of penalties for this next year. That may be one of the things on the gameplay side that gets some updates, some love, some new penalties, like we were talking about, late hit out of bounds. Throwing past the line of scrimmage. I know that's one in Madden, but that might be something that makes its way to NCAA. And things like that. I would say penalties are going to get some love this year. I don't know how much exactly yet, but things like that. It's not just tricky, or easy enough just to say, oh, we need to fix pass interference. This is how we're going to do it. Sometimes it's going to be a little bit of give and take and kind of play to get that right.
Cool's Girl wants to know about the depth chart, putting the best overall player instead of the best player at a particular position in order. She's very adamant about this.
So the question is putting the best player in instead of the best in that position. I'm not sure if I exactly follow that one.
Yeah, the depth chart is putting the best overall player, is listing the best overall player instead of the best player at a particular position.
Oh, okay, so maybe something like putting a guard in a tackle instead of having the best, the best tackle there. A guard might play over there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of coming into place of, in certain positions like that, it's going to take the best guy to put the best player on the field, not necessarily who's at that position. So you might get a tight end moving over to fullback if he's rated high enough and can play better position there than the starting fullback. And so it's just some of the logic we do to try and put the best players on the field that sometimes have cross-positional, ramifications.
Trojan Man, this is a question that came up a couple of times. The crowd during online play is not as exciting as it used to be. The crowd doesn't seem to get into the game as much. What's up with that?
So, we added new crowd audio this year. We actually went out to real games and recorded the crowd from those games. And with the mixing of, the intent was to be able to have higher ranges. So it wasn't going to be loud off the bat, but if you had a stereo system, you could go ahead and kind of adjust it to crank things up like you would for a DVD to be able to get a louder sound that way. And what we're finding is that doesn't exactly translate the way we thought it would into the game. So we are doing some work in the title update to try and update that to make it louder for people. I think it's something that going into 13, we're probably going to revisit to figure out to get it just right to make it sound like a true, Saturday game day experience.
I do love it when the crowd is loud and the controller's shaking and your quarterback's all nervous.
The home field advantage stuff is a great part of college football, and we love having it in the game.
Let's see. Salander, this is what you're talking about a little bit before. Salander wants to know if we could finally have the ability to download uniforms that were missed. And he knows that schools have to submit uniform changes by a certain date, but being able to download the most up-to-date uniforms would be great for the game.
That's kind of talking about the online space we were talking about before and how we can kind of push things that way. And, we don't want to be limited to a date that we have to have things in to get on a disc. So going forward, that's one thing we would love to have, is the ability to be able to push those live updates out to you. So let's say it's week 3 of the season and a team starts running the pistol offense that they've never run before. We want to be able to update playbooks and push those out so that you can have a new playbook that has those plays and those formations included. And same thing with uniforms and pretty much all of those different pieces of data. So we're not there yet, but it's something we definitely want to do.
A couple of people have asked about, including a real massive, after a game, when people try to save replays for highlights, that you almost always get a corrupted file and unable to save highlights to Online Dynasty. That has to be in a title update, I'm guessing.
It most definitely is, yeah.
Cool deal. Boom, boom, boom. What are your favorite two new things in NCAA and 12? What are your favorite two new additions?
sorry. I kind of lost you a little bit there. Oh. My favorite what?
Your two new additions to the game, two new features.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, favorite additions, sure. So for me, it's zone coverage as far as gameplay, because a lot of times, you know, myself and other players kind of fell into a trap where it was third and 13 or, you know, whatever it was, third and long, and I just knew which plays I wanted to run because I knew they would work, because zone coverage just had a lot of problems in the past. And so now it's a lot tougher to throw again, and so it makes me a better player because I have to find more plays to be able to use. You know, same thing, talking about Dynasty, the custom conference stuff, that was a lot of great things that for us, because it would be able to allow you to change the dynamics and change the landscape of college football to match both what happened in the real world as also what could happen. So you get a chance to really kind of play out that fantasy of what might have been if we moved to those 16-team super conferences. Road to Glory got a lot of love this year, and it was great to see some additions there. It's kind of a lot of fun to see both the extension of the high school season to where you're being recruited the whole way and can play Ironman, but also once you get to college, earning that coach trust to be able to unlock abilities along the way. Did a great job of kind of extending that mode into having you do more things than just go in and just play the game, sim the week, go in. It gave you a great reason to go into practice and kind of learn that position and learn your playbook.
Okay, now give me a couple of things that that you wish you had a little bit more time to work on.
Oh, I mean, if you paid attention to the title updates, you'll see there's a lot of things that I wish we would have got right the first time. And so, you know, transfer fail issues in Online Dynasty right now, the crowd audio, things like that are just kind of polish issues. Custom playbooks is a prime example. That was a great feature that for some has not worked out too well because they've run into issues with them that we're addressing in this title update. You know, things like that just crush you, that are great features that are kind of handcuffed right now until we get this title update out there because people aren't able to use them to their full capacity.
We have a live chat room, and we have two chatters that are yelling at me saying I'm not asking you the hard questions, but I'm asking you all the questions I have, and you've answered each one. So first of all, thank you. I'm like, what are you? I'm asking them everything. But his question is, which isn't a real question, but I will ask you anyway. Please do not get mad at me, Ben. He says, ask why they don't test the game. Ask why we have to pay $60 and then wait to play a usable game for 3 months. Do you guys test the game, Ben?
I mean, as a guy who can't QA, I can tell you, yes, we do test the game. We have a great group of guys that are both here and also at our testing center over in Baton Rouge that are working on the game. It's a very tough game to test and a very complex game. I don't want to give excuses for why the game came out the way it did and why there are bugs there. You know, it's something that we're just going to own and say we apologize. We're not happy about it, obviously, and we're doing the title updates to try and make the game the best we can. It's an unfortunate situation, and I can't put all the blame on the QA department. They know what they're doing. They know how to test games. Just unfortunate that we got where we were with the title.
Ben, you must be new associate producer, because if you were a veteran associate producer, you'll be blaming a guy named Dave in QA right now. You're like, we got this new guy, Dave, and we don't know. Wow, he's gone now, but don't worry, we're working. We're filling his position right now.
I can't do that. It was just a few years ago. I was that Dave in QA. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sell anybody out. You know.
Maniac Matt wants to know, why is pass defense still predictive instead of reactive? For example, when you throw as a receiver breaks on a cut and corner, and the safety who has his back to the play now cuts the ball and breaks on it better than the receiver. Basically, psychic players.
Right. And yeah, that's something that our central gameplay group is aware of and is looking to correct in the future. They just have not got it right yet. I don't have a great example. I don't work in that department, so I can't. I wish I could give you a better answer, but it's one of those things where it's a problem with the current system for how the defensive players react, and it's something we're looking to address in the future.
When you say future title update or future game?
Future game. It's something that's a larger than just what can be done in a title update.
Oh, Ben. Once again, damn it, Dave. Damn you, Dave.
But hey, if you talk to some people, if you hold down that left trigger or L2, then all of the world is solved, and every game is great, and all the passes are perfect. It's interesting to hear, but yeah, it's kind of fun.
The dude Dominic wants to know, when will we see blocking officiated correctly? You kind of touched on this earlier with the penalties. So the block in the back is currently called clipping and given a 15-yard penalty. Block in the back is one of the most common offensive penalties, yet it's not in the game. Any chance of ever adding blocking the back, chop blocks, and blocking below the waist?
Yeah, those are all things that we've talked about for those, you know, penalty up to 13.
Oh, wow, you're a little bit too quick. I was marking stuff off my paper, and you're already done with the answer. Damn, Ben. Okay, this is when you know you have a good game. Cusker wants to know if you can fix the clipping issues with certain mascots, in particular Otto the Orange.
Yeah, that's a fun one. You love when you see his elbows kind of go inside of himself, right? it's an issue with the skeleton for the mascots, and some guys that have larger outfits than the others, so to say. We do have issues with kind of clipping and interpenetration there. It's something that our animators should be looking at working on and trying to get right. You know, they've had things that they've been working on to get animations for cheerleaders and mascots and that sort of thing to make them look the best they can. But yeah, Otto's been there like that forever. It's time to get him updated. I agree.
Now, you brought up animations, and this is a question that I personally have had for a while now, ever since Backbreaker came out with their skeletal animation thing. Are you guys going to move to that anytime soon, or are you going to stay with the animation? Are you going to move to like the full ragdoll physics type thing?
It's something, honestly, back on Madden 06, we investigated and started working on and didn't get where we wanted to on the first time we moved over to it was the first game on Xbox 360, Madden 06. It was something we were working on then, didn't get where we wanted to with it, and have been kind of reevaluating. So I won't say where we're going with it or what our plans are in the future, but it is something that's being looked at.
What happens when, I know I've talked to you guys before, like E3 and whatnot, and NCAA 12, like personally, this is bad to say. I always say it's bad to say, but I always still say it anyway. I always say it like it was a little brother to Madden. And now it seems that you guys have moved so far away. They are now, it's not just Madden with a different roster. Like, how do you guys perceive yourselves in that hierarchy?
You know, that's the common goal we have, try to have every year. And that's the way the two games have been the best are the years that we are the most different from each other. And so, that's the main thing that we try to do every year is make the best college game possible. They make the best NFL game possible, and the differences kind of naturally fall apart there. One area we try to differentiate ourselves is in the online space. A lot of additions we've made, you see adopted throughout other games now. So Online Dynasty might be a prime example for how other sports games will try and mimic their, online persistent world. You see things like Team Builder being kind of copied and used by other games now. And a lot of different things like that. So we try to do a lot of innovation as far as online. That's kind of our calling card. And then what else we can do to kind of really get that college football experience as a part of the game. And then Madden's focused on, that NFL experience and what makes Sundays different from Saturdays. And so we kind of have our own game plan for what we're doing. And there's some crossover there, obviously. It's still football. But it's really trying to make the differential between what makes Saturdays different from Sundays.
I got to admit, I shouldn't be kissing up to you, but I think you guys have the presentation is just a little bit better. So.
I appreciate that. I do like Madden's cameras a lot. The kind of first-person camera they have for they're mimicking the NFL Films guy is really cool stuff. And so, you love seeing that stuff come out of their game as well. And so I'm looking forward to their release at the end of the month.
Now, I lost the name, but I remember that one forum question was, will you be able to play in a future patch, will you be able to play from the broadcast camera? Is that something you guys are looking into?
It's something we are looking at. It didn't make it into Title Update 2. Something we are looking at. I know people say they want to play from that angle. It's what our fans want. That's what we'll be able to deliver.
Sweet. AGN428 in the live chat, at if you guys are listening, chatdoggames.com, wants to know about coach progression. He says if it's going to be fixed, because after 4 or 5 years, practically every coach is rated A. That's just because they're great coaches. And you can't get jobs. What about coach progression?
Look for that as part of the tuner pack that's going to be coming out around the same time as the title update.
Oh, good. So there will be a tuner update?
There will be, yes. And coach progression is a part of that, as well as super sim times for games that are super sim, both as you're a coordinator as well as when you're in Road to Glory and any other time you're using super sim. So some additions there. Those are a couple of them, but we'll have more. We'll announce later.
Now, a lot of the questions I've left are about the AI. Give me an overall lesson on NCAA AI, because most, I have a question about why is the deep ball defensive AI so awful? I played. It's not awful. Why all American DB and man coverage with safety help over the top? Doesn't it beat deep all the time like they do in this game? where tell me about AI in NCAA 12.
You know, it's one of those things where it's the logic you're trying to put in to replicate how these players should play as they do in real life. And these are, you know, 18, 19 year old, 20 kids.
They're going to make mistakes, is what you're saying.
And so you're going to have that kind of more a little bit wide open where guys are going to have missed assignments and misplayed a ball. But does it happen too often in the game right now? Yeah, I could probably say it does. But it's something where we're trying to work on to get it tightened up to where, you know, you want to have it so you can still complete plays and still have fun on offense, but still have a competitive defense. So it's trying to find that delicate balance.
I say look at it like this. The guy just got into high school, met a couple of really hot cheerleaders. His mind's not going to be on the game 100%. He's gonna miss a route or two.
It depends. I mean, if you're in Miami, what we've been hearing has been happening down there, then it could be a whole different ballgame.
Okay. A lot of these questions are – I like the fact that you asked all the questions, answered most – in fact, not most, all the questions, because now I'm looking at the list and I was like, oh, he wants to know what happened to pass interference. You already answered that. But why does the strafe button for the wide receiver cornerback seem to be less effective than in the past? What changes were made there?
That's a good question. I don't know of any changes that really happened to the strafe. I wish I could give an answer to that one, but I don't know.
Are you dodging my strafe question, Ben?
After 20 questions, I'm finally dodging one. Yes.
if you guys could make a NCAA, because I know you used to be able to move your player from NCAA to Madden.
Right.
That you can't do that anymore.
No, you can still do that from Road to Glory to Superstar, and you can still take your draft class from Dynasty into Franchise.
Oh well, never mind then. That's cool. How do you guys like the integration between you and Madden? Do you want more? Do you want less? Do you want to be more separated? Do you want to be more integrated?
I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity to have. You know, say you start out your player in Road to Glory, and then you take him into Madden. We go through his Superstar career. Then he becomes a coach, comes back into college, goes through his college career, may take a job in the NFL, and kind of come back and forth. I mean, there's a lot of room to have this maybe, you know, persistent, always football world that's bouncing between the two games. There's a lot of ways that we can integrate between each other to have a lot of fun.
Oh, you just said the magic words, persistent world, which means digital download subscription for EA Sports football games.
It's the future, man. That's where it's at. You know, trying to get to that whole area where we're trying to get the game directly to you as a consumer. And so it's kind of the steps along the way. And so, you know, this is the first step towards that. It's something that, you know, we're starting to work towards and give you that reason to download every EA Sports game and check out everything and be a part of every EA Sports experience we're trying to put out.
So the first step of the season ticket next year, I'm just going to be paying EA, which I guess is not bad, like, what, $30 a year or $10 a month to play all the new games possibility?
You get a chance to check them out early, and you get some additional incentives for doing it. And it's the start of a program. It's going to get more and bigger every year as we move on. It's kind of the, you know, dipping your toe into that digital market before you dump drive right in.
I'm not sure if I kind of like that, because I'm guessing that means the games will be more constantly updated and everything. But at the same time, you kind of miss the Madden. It's just Madden or just NCAA instead of NCAA 12, 13, 14, 15.
Well, I don't think we'll ever get away from a true yearly release, but it's getting to that area where we have the chance to do, like you're saying, updates along the way. And it's not just one big update for the year, but multiple updates throughout the year. And, you know, it's kind of staying adaptive in the world that we're in. And when you're seeing everything else kind of moving to this direction where you're able to make quick updates and kind of work in what we call web speed, where you can make changes in an instant. You know, it's one of those things where you see the music industry and what happened there. You know, they were stuck to an old model and it killed them. And nobody here wants to be in that same situation.
Dude, I don't want to play NCAA in a browser, though. Don't make me have to log into Facebook to play NCAA.
You know, it's part of the thing. We want to be able to have an experience available to you everywhere, like we were saying. You know, maybe the whole game doesn't work in a Facebook environment, but I'm sure there's something that we can do that translates to that Facebook market to get you, as a college fan, able to, you know, participate and be a part of that college football world no matter where you're at. So we're looking at everything, you know?
Now I know the true meaning behind the EA origin. It's the start of something big.
starting. Yeah, you got to start off somewhere. But yeah, we'll get there.
Way to Fail Itself wants to know. Once again, you answered this already. Where are the tuner updates that you said would allow the guys to make adjustments on the fly?
Look for the first tuner to be out right around the same time as that title update too.
And that title update will be August 26th.
The date keeps coming down. I like the way you work.
Well, at some point you're going to say, if I said Christmas, you'd be like, oh, it's going to be before Christmas. I said, well, it's coming out tomorrow. I said, well, it can't be tomorrow. Then I would slowly move the dates in, and then eventually you
I like
say,
that. We can start with that time frame. Sometime between tomorrow and Christmas. You can get me on that.
Oh, damn it. I was down at the 25th of August, and now you've widened it. You are a pro, sir. You are a pro.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't have a whole – like most – I know people are going to yell at me because they always yell at me for now. My paper is all black marks now because I've asked everything except for the ones like, well, Strudolph says, how dare you? But you actually answered, how dare you, before. So cross that
there
one
we
off.
Go.
The Online Dynasty, yes. Uniform changes, yes. DEs, defensive ends, and linebackers not using their rip and swim moves when rushing the passer. And because of it, DTs are racking up the majority of the sacks.
That's interesting because I see it happen a lot. I don't know. It might be a difference with settings or it might be sliders. I'm not sure exactly what the scenario is. But that's the thing with the game is it's so customizable that it's hard to replicate exactly what someone else might see because they might be playing under completely different circumstances than what you're playing.
Is there a way to adjust the countdown timer so the CPU has a more realistic time of possession, the automatic countdown timer between plays?
Oh, yeah, right. That's like the accelerated clock. So we have the concept of chew clock, which allows you to try to kill the clock yourself and try to chew up that time. But the CPU uses their own logic for that as well, and they can go into the chew clock if they'd like to or, you know, kind of run out the clock how they see fit.
Oh, so that's a computer doing that, and not like it's not hard coded in. The computer can actually decide that on its own.
Well, we do run off some time to replicate how much time gets run off in the real world. But yeah, the CPU does have the chance to go into that chew clock situation to be able to try and chew up that time.
Coos Girl again asks, can a formation package selection be fixed right now? There's either a lack of sensitivity with the right stick or merely a very small range of the right stick that a game responds to. This is especially frustrating on defense where you only have 10 seconds to pick a play.
So, wow. Are they using the D-pad or the D-stick? Because I think that might be a difference in the sensitivity there. I'm using the D-stick, and I'm fine with it. I don't know, but that could be something I'll talk to the guys and see what we can do.
Wow, look at that Coos Girl. You're going to talk to him just because of your question. That's good. I don't have anything else. Plus, I was only supposed to have you here for a half hour and run on 45 minutes. I don't want a PR lady to get mad at me and not talk to me.
No worries, man. I love talking about the game. I'll do it any time. You know that.
Now, it's out on, I'm going to say, three systems. I'm not counting any other system. I'm counting PC, 360, and PS3. Which is the best one?
So, yeah, PS3 and 360, and then you have the web the web component you can get to extend your Online Dynasty into for PS3 or 360 onto the web, but we don't have a PC standalone.
Whoa, there's no PC standalone.
No, there's no PC standalone just yet. Hmm. It's something we used to do back in the day. I think 98 was the last time we did it.
Oh, and, damn. I show my age then.
You know, who knows? The Charles Woodson cover was, I think, the last time we had a standalone PC. But who knows? I mean, if the market calls for it and demands it, it might be back at some point. But, you know, you're asking which one is the best? That's a matter of personal preference. You know, we make them identical for both, and so you're going to get the same experience on both. I've got both consoles at home. I play both regularly. It's interchangeable to me. It's just a different controller in my hand, so I can't really give you an answer of which one I like most.
Which do you have both systems at home?
Oh, sure, of course.
Oh, I was going to say.
I mean, as anybody in the industry, you've got to be playing everything that's out there and kind of seeing what everyone else is doing, or else you're not able to really innovate or come up with anything new. You're just kind of, you know, what you think of might be new might just be new to your game, and there are 10 other games out there that have already done it. So it's key to be able to play everything and kind of know what the industry's doing.
The Rob D in the All Games chat room says, while it's nice to see that NCAA is trying to implement more physics-based tackling and collisions instead of the familiar suction animations of years past, these issues are still present in NCAA. I like the fact that he's very verbose. I like that. What is EA planning to do to improve the sense of realism in player interactions and animations that is still very lacking in NCAA football?
So, you know, I think you've seen over the past couple of years, we've taken steps to improve that experience. And so Locomotion last year was the first step with that. This year, it's getting rid of the suction in the gameplay so you don't see, you know, suction in the tackles or suction in the blocks and things like that anymore. And kind of going down those steps and what else we can do. And so, you know, where we can go to get more of what looks like a real-world type of situation where it's not pre-canned animations but more on those physics lines. And so, you know, it's kind of an exciting time from the gameplay side because we're doubling the size of our gameplay team to try and deliver that kind of experience, you know, this next year. So it's kind of an exciting time to see what our gameplay crew is going to be able to do, you know, when they've got double the capacity they've had in the past.
No chance of you guys just buying Natural Motion and sticking their stuff in there?
Oh. That's a decision that's going to happen, you know, many pay grades above myself. I don't know. I don't know if that discussion has even happened or where it would go, but, you know, it is interesting.
I will try to get Peter Moore's phone number and see, and call
there
him.
There you go.
The Rob D again in chat says, legitimate question. Why does he say legitimate question? I know your question's legitimate. He says, player development is imbalanced in NCAA Football 12. My QB became a 99 overall and rode to glory halfway through his first college season. Maybe he was a prodigy. Is EA satisfied with this sense of player development? Wow, it's coming hard. It's coming at you hard, Ben.
Well, so Road to Glory is an issue where, you know, it's up to you to determine how that player progresses through your purchase, through the store, through your XP points that you're earning during the game. And so better players are able to level up faster and get that 99 rating and much faster rating away. You know, we're looking to find ways to make it a more competitive experience going forward. You know, it's going to be easier to get to that. The way that the system works right now, it's going to be easier to get to a 99 as a quarterback than it would, say, be as a defensive end. And so we're trying to improve that to where it's a competitive situation for all positions. And so, you know, it's something that you know, we're happy with where we got to this year, but ultimately we're not happy, and we're looking to always increase that and make that a better challenge going forward.
Only a couple more questions for you, and I'm going to let you go.
Sure thing.
Why do ESPN radio highlights cut out? It's a widely reported issue.
And then, that's something, yeah. You know, it's a combination of a couple things. Sometimes it's a bad file that we get from ESPN, and sometimes it's an issue where when you hit the server, it might wind up cutting out. And so we're kind of having that debate right now internally. You know, what do we do with these going forward? Do we just turn the service off until we can get everything ironed out? Or, you know, how do we work things out to try and lessen the number of times these happen? Because, you know, I agree, it's frustrating. It's annoying to be listening to an update and having them cut out. And so that's kind of one of the internal discussions we're having right now of how, going forward, do we want to improve this experience? Because right now it's not great. I agree.
AGN542 in chat keeps telling me to ask about the LT button, but all he keeps saying is ask about the LT button. Dude, I don't know what about the LT button. Tell me.
Okay, oh, man. No, I can tell you all about this. It's really funny. It kind of caught fire about a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago now. There are a lot of threads that are saying that the game feels completely different when you hold down the left trigger when you throw the ball, and that animations are completely different, and that receivers attack the ball you know, if you hold down that left trigger when you're throwing the ball. Now, we've come out and said there's absolutely nothing to it. And
you look at the code and under LT press on, there's no code there that changes it.
There's nothing that changes the outcome of anything. But it's a lot of fun. It's very entertaining to read these threads and see, you know, people's testimonials of how different they've been able to play the game. And, you know, passes that were being picked off or swatted are now, you know, the receiver's catching it in stride, and you can tell the trajectory coming off the hand of the quarterback is completely different. And, you know, honestly, I'm not going to try and convince anybody that what they're seeing is incorrect. They're going to believe what they want to believe. And it's not, I mean, that's an impossible battle to try and prove someone is incorrect when they believe they've seen something with their own eyes. I can tell you there's nothing in there. I can tell you, honestly, I've talked to programmers and central gameplay designers and everybody, and there's nothing there. But if people want to believe that it makes their gameplay better, by all means, I'm more than happy to have them feel that they're completing more passes and doing better by holding down that left trigger or L2. You know, it's been great to watch, though. I've really had a lot of fun kind of reading those threads and seeing some people say, I've been playing this for hours trying to do this, and I feel no different. And then other people saying, you just don't want to believe. and then talking about how great their experiences are and showing videos of animations that they've never seen before without holding down left trigger that are animations that you can see in any game, any play, any throw. So it's been interesting. You know, again, believe what you want to believe. It's not really a real thing, but, you know, if it makes you feel your game's better, hold down that left trigger.
Okay, I'm going to one more question because now the question there people are rolling through questions in chat, but they're mostly like two word questions, like pancake blocks and why is every game on ESPN, stuff like that. But the question I will ask will be: do you see an update in the future for better to better replicate rosters for being close to real life draft eligible draft classes? For example, Kellen Moore being drafted way lower than his rating shows. Basically, better. I don't even get that question.
So yeah, when a draft class goes from NCAA to Madden, a lot of times what you'll see are, you know, players that were rated 99 or in the high 90s in NCAA don't come in as high in Madden, and so that's actually something that is done on their end once they get that file. So we just send them up, you know, our final ratings, and it's really you know, Madden's job to determine how those players come in, and so. If you do have a problem with someone, you know, coming in lower, you know, I'm happy to take it to pass the buck on this one. That's not on us. That's Madden's side to get that moved.
And luckily, we'll be talking to the guys from Madden 2 weeks from now here on Dead Pixel.
I can't wait to you blindside them with that one. I'm gonna feel great about that.
See, that's what I didn't want anything that I was blindsiding you or anything. I feel bad now. But these are what the people are asking, dude. What are you?
And they're big boys. They can take it. You know.
Yeah, and plus you guys sold 700,000 copies, so you got to be feeling good. What was the celebration like the day after? Does DA send down a bunch of cheerleaders or something? Like, what happens, or is it just like dead? Like, we knew we were going to be big time. No big deal.
You know, you see the pre-sale numbers, and you kind of get a projection of what we're going to do, and you kind of get excited to see, you know, how you've done year over year and where you're at. And so, you know, it's a little more low key than that. We don't quite fly in, you know, cheerleaders and have a big party for it, but. You know, we are internally very happy with where we're at and the sales numbers this year. You know, it's always nice to be on that trending up. And a lot of that came off of the success of last year. Yeah. And so, you know, it's something that we want to, you know, see keep moving forward and seeing that, you know, those numbers rise, obviously. It's a great feeling.
As we let you go, first of all, thanks a lot for coming. Spent more time than you had to, so I want to thank you a lot for that. Answered all the questions. Thanks a lot for that. What do you want us to know about NCAA 12?
I mean, the season's coming up here. We're only a couple weeks away, and so, you know, it's such a great tool to be able to help you get prepared and learn for the season. And so if you get in there and you're playing the game and kind of maybe going in and starting a dynasty with a team that you don't really follow in real life, you know, it's a way to get you associated with that team so you start following them in the real world. I mean, it's a great tool for college football to get you to be an even bigger fan than what you might already be. And so that's always kind of my favorite thing with it, is going through dynasties with different teams and kind of experiencing what those schools are like, and then kind of how that transcends to me watching those teams in the real world and kind of following. And I've had dynasties with teams like Ohio University that I followed that entire season because I had such a great time using them in my dynasty, that I'd watch their games whenever, you know, it was MAC Thursday nights on ESPN. I'd wind up watching and kind of getting associated with them that way. And so it's kind of a, you know, the thing for me is as a huge college football fan, the game is a great way to not only, you know, keep your fanhood up, but also increase your fanhood and kind of increase your knowledge about other teams and other conferences out there. You might just be somebody who focuses on your own team or your own conference, but there's a lot of other great football being played out there, and it's a great way to kind of teach you, you know, what's going on.
Yeah, I remember when I worked at I work at a place with all women, so I don't worry about this as much, but I worked at a place with a bunch of guys, and I was an NFL guy, but they were college guys, and I would come in on Monday, and they'll be talking about Florida State or OSU or this and that, and I was like, dude, I don't know. I started playing NCAA back on the PS2 days. I would come in, and all of a sudden, I was around the water cooler with everybody else talking about football. Cursing about the BCS. What, the BCS? They rated who? What? How? What the hell is wrong with that play? Stupid computer. That's the real reason everybody should play NCAA.
It's a great sport to follow, man. It's a lot of fun, and every week is always something great to talk about. So that's why I love the sport so much.
And we can be looking for that patch on
you know, sometime within the next hour until Christmas. I'm not sure exactly when, somewhere in between there.
Ben Hall Miller, associate producer for NCAA 12, the NCAA football game on the PS3 and the 360. Thanks a lot, Ben.
Hey, thank you.
Have a good day.